Welcome to the CMO Marketing Podcast, where we interview business owners, leaders, or marketing professionals to find out their lessons and stories for success.
Welcome to episode number 92 of the CMO Marketing Podcast. My name is Simon Dell. It is fantastic to have you back on the show. If this is your first time listening in, then you've missed 91 other great episodes. But if you are back for more, then really, really appreciate that. Now, today we have on the show a gentleman by the name of Jeremy Fleming. He is the CEO, managing director, whatever you want to call him, of an organization called Stage Kings, which are based in Sydney, New South Wales. Stage Kings, you may know, they do some major staging stuff for events. They, Formula One, Australian Ninja, the cricket, all the big events. But, you know, these guys do big events. But they're also perhaps slightly better known in the last 4 months for the geniuses behind the flat-packed plywood furniture called ISO King. Have a look at it online, ISO King. It won't be hard for you to Google it, find it. They still are an event company that on the 13th of March 2020 pretty much lost every single client and every piece of revenue that they had projected for the next however many years. And then they pivoted. They pivoted and created furniture. And this pretty much is a story. This is their story of how they did that, why they did that, the successes, you know, all those bits and pieces that you need to know. Hopefully, listening to this story will give people out there some inspiration, some ideas around how they can potentially pivot their existing business to generate more revenue, or how they can potentially take a new idea to market. It is a very inspirational story. These guys are smart. And I think the key thing to this business is that they moved fast. So that's probably the biggest outtake I took out of this. There's a lot of learnings in it, but have a listen to Jeremy's interview and I'm sure you will gain some insight from it. Before we jump into that, just the usual housekeeping. If you're looking for any support with your audio work, you want to do your own podcast, voiceovers, whatever it might be, thepodcastboss.com. Go and talk to Gilberto. Please rate and review us on iTunes. That's really important if you could do that. Thank you. You can also find us on Spotify and Deezer and lots of other places as well. And finally, come and take a look at what we do, cemoh.com, C-E-M-O-H. It is my business that I run with Matt and have been doing them for about 2.5 years. We recently rebranded, which is an earlier episode, so you can listen to that. If you are looking for marketing help within your business, we are the people that you should be talking to. If you are a marketing consultant listening to this and you work independently on your own, then we would love to talk to you as well, because we would love to have you on board so that we can push you and sell you into customer businesses so that you can support their growth. So yeah, please get in contact with us, cemoh.com. Contact me, simon@cemoh.com. I'm on LinkedIn, we're on Twitter, Facebook, every other channel that you can possibly imagine, and soon TikTok as well. So yeah, we're going to try and do that properly moving forward. Other than that, I hope you enjoy the interview with Jeremy Fleming. So welcome to the CMO Marketing Podcast, Jeremy Fleming. How are you?
Very well, thanks, Simon. Thanks so much for having me.
Now, you're here for a very specific reason, something that you've been doing in the last 4 months, but before we get into that, give us a give us an overview of who you are and who Stage Kings are.
Sure. Jeremy Fleming's my name, Managing Director of Stage Kings. Now, Stage Kings, we started 5 years ago, only a month or so ago, and we started Stage Kings with the aim of building stages and structures for events and festivals and concerts and things. And the main goal was to bring more decorated kind of structures like you'd see throughout Europe and America to Australia and try to sort of freshen up that market.
Awesome. And you've been doing that now for about, was it 5 years that I saw? About 5 years, 6 years?
Well, look, with Stage Kings, just over 5 years. I've been in the scaffold industry for over 20 years. and into the staging game for 3 or so years before we started Stage Kings.
Now, we're obviously going to talk about ISO King today because that's, you know, that's a significant change in what you guys have been doing for the past 3 or 4 months. But before we get into that, and for those of you that haven't, don't know what ISO King is, just sort of hang fast and we'll get on to that. I guess I want to ask a couple of bits about the event business. And probably the first thing I wanted to ask was, when you kind of read your biography, I mean, you guys appear to have done some, what I would describe as some pretty cool shit. I know I've got friends in the event business and I know the event business is hard, but you've got to have been having some fun with some of this stuff.
Oh, hell yeah. Yeah. Look, we really enjoy what we do. Everything's always so different. One week we could be building a 30-meter tall lion for a music festival. The next week we could be building a replica of Shakespeare's Globe Theatre, and it's so varied what we do, and it's always, like I say, different and exciting, and we just love it.
I also noticed you did some of the structural work for the Channel 9's Ninja Warrior, and I'm going to have to ask you whether you had a chance to go on the course.
No, I didn't. That's a good question most people ask. A few years ago, I would have loved to have. I'm a little out of shape at the moment.
I guess my question with this is that events is one of those things when I talk about marketing. Strategies with people and marketing plans with people. To me, events is such an important part of anybody's marketing plan, irrespective of where you are and what your industry is. You tell me, in your opinion, why you think events are so important for some of the businesses that you work with.
Look, the first thing that makes events so important, in my opinion, is just bringing people together. You know, it's humans need that interaction. They need that having fun as a group, and it's the event market is an amazing market. There's a lot of great people. You know, you're talking 500,000 plus workers in that industry, Look, this COVID thing has hit the industry very hard. We were one of the first to be affected and we'll be one of the last to come out. And so it's really important that people start trying to look at events that can be done currently and do the best that we can to get them back on track.
I think people get scared a lot because when they talk about events that you know, it feels like there's a lot of work to make a good event and there's potentially a lot of investment to make a good event. And I guess some people fear the return on investment or not understanding the return on investment. How would you kind of tackle those kind of things?
I think that it's just so important to for the kind of events that we do. It's we do a lot of very big events and they are a huge investment, but the events, they don't need to be that big or that expensive. I think that there's different scales for different things, and it's just important to get the brand and the name out there and to bring people together around that.
If you were a small business and you were out there advising a small business to say, look, you know, events should be a key part of your marketing plan, what would you be saying to them? I mean, what could they do? I mean, you know, obviously they're not going to start, you know, build big ninja, you know, obstacle courses and all those kind of things. But, you know, is there some little things that you've seen or little events that you've seen that have kind of really stuck out in your head over those years?
Currently is an interesting one. There's been a lot of change in events and how they've moved online, and so I still think there's ways of running events now that are going to get the response that's needed. I'm not pretending to be an event organizer. We just really build what people want. But they are important, and there's ways to do that.
So let me sort of step through to the whole ISO King conception. I read the story on the website. That's you know, for anybody who wants to read that, that's there. What went through your head on that Friday the 13th of March?
the first thing was, fuck, what are we gonna, what are we going to do? We have zero income now. And literally, I think I said in that letter, it was within 48 hours or so, we lost 100% of our income. And so we immediately had to think of how we were going to cut costs, how we could survive. Yeah, at the time, there was we really thought that it might be a few months. So we did some numbers and worked out we could probably survive 5 or 6 months without income if we cut right back.
Yeah.
But look, it's there's still no end in sight for the big events. But so yeah, we were really concerned. We had a lot of staff working, and we had to work out what we were going to do with them. That was the hardest part, to be honest, how we were going to let those guys know that we had no work.
Well, you're obviously in business with your wife, which itself must be an entirely challenging experience, because can't imagine ever doing that with my wife. One of us would kill each other within the first 10 minutes. But
we listen to it. So it does very well. We compliment each other in along
the way. Who was the calmest out of the pair of you? Like, was one of you sort of running about like a headless chicken, kind of panicking, and the other one was slapping them to try and keep them calm? Was that how it was?
Look, we took it on as with my wife Tabitha and I, and also Mick Jessup, our head of production. The three of us handled it as a team, and really there was no major panic. I did at one stage think that we would very likely lose the house and need to move to Hervey Bay with my parents, but we immediately started to think of ways around it. It wasn't that no negative thoughts lingered too long. We really were thinking of what we could do, and we started designing. That was Friday the 13th. By Monday, we'd started to design temporary waiting facilities for hospitals and COVID testing, pop-up COVID testing rooms for shopping center car parks and things like that. We had the trust and we had the scaffold to do. We started to chat to healthcare workers to work out exactly what was needed in those. And we've got full sets of drawings of all that were ready to go. But we literally had 1 week to make something work, and that wasn't going to work fast enough.
So tell me how ISO King came about. What was obviously the story on the website sort of mentions that it was the mix kind of maybe mixed brainwave, but did he just sort of turn up and go, we need to be making furniture for people at home? How did that work?
As part of working through what we could do, we were talking to friends overseas. We've got a lot of friends in Europe in the same situation, and we were talking to a friend of ours who'd been working for us over here for some time, and he had us a company in Ireland, and we were just chatting, and he said, look, I'm looking at making some furniture. Why don't you guys think about something like that? And so I messaged Mick on Sunday morning after Friday we had planned that we had to let everyone go. Sunday, Mick and I were having some texts, and we said, look, let's get into some office furniture. There's no desks available. I think it's a good option, and Mick jumped on it, and you probably read there he designed furniture for a hobby, and he's built all the furniture in his own house in a little workshop. And so he came in on Monday morning ready to roll. We had two designs for a desk and a stand-up desk, two 3D printed prototypes, and we spent that Monday with no one else around because Friday was sort of the end of it all. And that Monday, Mick and I were running around knocking on doors trying to get a couple of sheets of birch ply, which we got, cut a couple of desks Monday afternoon. And then you probably read as well, my wife Tabitha watched some YouTube tutorials and set up an e-commerce site overnight on Monday night. Tuesday morning we took some photos and we were live by 3 p.m. on Tuesday. So in 48 hours from year, we were on sale.
Wow. That's an amazing turnaround. Yeah. So, I mean, you've done no market testing. You don't know whether anyone's going to buy this stuff. You're kind of going, look, it sounds like a good idea because somebody, some bloke in Ireland recommended it. Yeah. So it's kind of a bit of a wing and a prayer. And you've got the website. Like, what do you do next? I mean, how do you suddenly go? I mean, you're competing with the big boys here. All of a sudden, you created a business in 48 hours that's competing with the likes of Officeworks and Super A Mart and all those kind of people that make furniture and have been making furniture for years and years and years. How do you suddenly get this out to people?
The only way we knew how was social media. And so, the only other thing we really thought was to be completely honest with people. And so I wrote an open letter that we put on social media, and luckily that letter struck a chord with people, and people felt attached to it and wanted to help. And so within a couple of days that post had got spread around 1 million people and had been shared 2,500 times or so, and that was our first experience of something going viral. And because of that, to be honest, Mick and I made this desk and thought, okay, we'll keep a couple of guys working on the CNC. He and I would sand the desks and deliver them on our way home each day. We thought we might do 100 desks in a couple of months.
Right.
Turns out we did 100 desks in a couple of days. It's because of that letter, and it was an open letter saying we've had to let go of our people. This is what the situation. We're going to give this a go, and people connected with that.
And so specifics here, where did you post that letter?
So that went on to Facebook, really we had a very small presence on Facebook, maybe a couple of thousand followers. Yep. And even smaller on Instagram. So we put it on Instagram, Facebook, and LinkedIn. And on Facebook alone, that's where it reached over 1 million people. And we're still getting people sharing that now to this day, 4 months later. That initial letter is still kicking around.
So I'm looking at that on Instagram at the moment. 24th of March, does that sound about right?
100%, that's right. Yeah, Tuesday, 24th of March. Yeah.
Wow. And it's just it's a single photo at the moment. Obviously, it's got 373 likes. I mean, obviously Facebook has been the catalyst for you. Yeah.
Instagram still, we haven't really gone too far on Instagram, but on Facebook, that's the reach is enormous.
It's funny. It's amazing how different things are, different things work in different social media channels. So,
Our followers now, we've gained 10,000 followers in a couple of months, and everything we're doing, we're posting on there, and very quickly there's a lot of quick uptake. And I think that a lot of that's to do with how we're engaging a lot with our followers on Facebook in particular. And we're putting it out to people now. I don't like to say we're a furniture manufacturer now. I feel we're more of a solutions company. We ask people what it is they need, and they're telling us what their issues are in isolation, and we're trying to come up with a solution for that.
And when you read that letter, the interesting thing is, and this, this isn't a criticism, because you can't criticize something like this. It's not like this kind of epic war and peace call to arms. It's an honest statement, and it's not a long statement, but it's an honest statement of, where you are as a where you are as a business and the support that you need. It's not begging. It's not offering any kind of excuses or anything like that. It's just saying this is what it is, and this is what we've done. It feels. Why do you think it resonated so much with so many people?
I think because we weren't trying to sell something. It wasn't a hard sell. I think and I don't know if you've seen our logo, basically all I did was put a line through the bottom of our logo through the stages and structures part and said work from home office furniture solutions. And so we've been very honest, and really I think the fact that as well we at the get-go, when we first had the idea for a desk, we also said anything we make on this, we need to be giving as much back as we can. And we're donating a portion to Support Act. Everyone working for us again now, I mentioned we had a bunch of crew we had to let go. We've brought back all of that crew and more than doubled our crew now. And that's we're over 50 50 people down in the workshop. And that is all made up of out-of-work event people. And so we're really trying to spread that net and support the industry as much as possible. And I think because of that is why people are connecting with it and supporting the cause.
And I think all those things that you're doing now kind of justify why the continued interest in your brand and your product exists, because of all those extra things that you're doing. But that moment in time on the 24th of March when that kind of thing started getting traction, it's near enough impossible to replicate that. Yeah. You know, it's like there's an element of honesty in your message. There's an element of being in the right place in the right time. But, you know, it's largely, I mean, you can't portion sort of, you know, credit anywhere, but there's an element of luck in all of that.
Yeah, totally. We've been, I use the word luck a lot, and the planets seem to align for us. You know, the fact that we were talking to this friend in Ireland, the fact that Mick designs and builds furniture in his spare time, you know, we had the machinery here. It's not, for us, it wasn't a massive change of thinking. We looked at it as another project. Every, like I mentioned before, every project we do is so different. We really need to look at every project differently and work out how to build that. And we do the same with this. We've got the CNC router and the set builders, and the ply is easy enough for us to get. And we looked at it as that project and ran with that. And we are very lucky that we got the support we have.
And I guess anywhere along the line, some little thing could have, you know, could have brought you down. I mean, you talk about the wood that you need. I mean, obviously you've probably gone through a shitload of wood that you would never have gone. You would have never gone through any normal in your normal business.
We're going through at least 10 packs every week of plywood, and which is amazing. We did, after 1 week, we had to switch suppliers because one supplier ran out. and we've also done a lot of things wrong. We've changed our systems now 4 times in the last 4 months. The dispatch and freight system that we're using has changed a few times, and because we're learning along the way. And the other key to us this success is that we moved so fast. Had we have been 1 week or 2 weeks later, I don't think we would have had the same success.
And it's interesting you say that, because I was going to say exactly the same thing. And you know, when I talk to small businesses, one of the challenges they always have is, you know, how do I compete with bigger businesses? How do I compete with the big boys? You know, they have all these resources and things like that. And I just go, can you imagine Officeworks doing what you did? You know, it would have taken them 18 months to even get it beyond, you know, a committee or a planning stage. Whereas you guys, in the space of, you know, from the 13th to the 24th of March, have just changed your entire business proposition based on circumstances and, you know, and hard work, and that speed of movement has saved you guys.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's right. It all came down to that speed. And like you say, the bigger, more established companies, to move that quickly is far more difficult. For us, we get a suggestion that might come through overnight on Facebook. It gets a few hundred people supporting that suggestion. The same thing happened only a few weeks ago with shoe racks, for example. People said, we need a shoe rack. So before Smoko, the next day, Mick draws a shoe rack. We cut a prototype. We take a photo, and it's on sale that same day. You know, we sell 400 in a day. It's no one. I can't see that anyone can do it that quickly.
No, not at all. So talk about the future of the business. Where, presumably when the event industry comes back, you guys are going to want to go back and do what you were doing before. How are you going to structure this sort of moving forward? What's the plan in the long term?
So the ISO King furniture, we're going to continue. We're certainly going to do that. Like I mentioned, big events, I really cannot see that we'll do something of any scale, at least for this next summer. I think it's probably later next year. Excuse that truck reversing in the background. that's actually a load of ply.
There you go. More furniture,
Yeah, that's right. So we are at least a season or so off being able to do those big events again. So we're pushing this the ISO King furniture as far as we can. We're still keeping that that dialogue with our followers and seeing what it is they need, and we've got a list of stuff people are after, and we'll continue to work on that until events come back, and then the most likely scenario is we'll run both businesses parallel.
Yeah, awesome, mate. Look, thank you very much for that today. If anybody wants to get hold of you guys, where's the best place for them to sort of connect with you?
Look, Facebook is a really good way. Also just the website, stagekings.com.au. But we're at Stage Kings Australia on Facebook and stagekings_AU on Instagram. We are very active on Facebook. We've got three people that respond to everything on there. Yeah. And, look, we love to hear people's ideas, so keep them coming. The other key thing is Support Act, touched on briefly. If anyone is interested in helping support those guys, Support Act's an organisation that's looking after the event industry and the arts, the people that fall through the cracks of safety, the government safety nets. These Support Act are really helping those guys. So any support that people can give them is greatly appreciated.
And I guess what I'd like, just the last thing I'd like from you is that. I do a lot of mentoring with the Queensland government up here. I've done in the last 18 months, 105 sessions we worked out the other day. I still hear the pain that a lot of people are going through, where their business is at, and, you know, they don't see an end in a light at the end of the tunnel and all those kind of things. What I kind of like, and I'm putting you on the spot here, some sort of idea, you know, some sort of motivational kind of suggestion from you about, you know, how people should be approaching these kind of things, how people should be approaching challenges like this.
Yeah. I think the big thing is to continue to think outside the box, try and think of it as much as possible. I've seen some amazing stories. I've done a lot of talks with people now, and there's some great stories of people pivoting. That the word is used a huge amount these days, but you know, bed and breakfast, with spare rooms, hiring out offices to people. You know, they're setting up their rooms as offices to get the big companies out of their big offices, and just some amazing stuff like that. And I think really keep thinking outside the box, try and remain agile, and if you have an idea, have a go at it. Don't try and overanalyze it. If it's not going to cost you a huge amount to have a go at it, have a go.
Yeah, awesome. Mate, thank you very much for that. I will let you get back to bossing Mick about to make more furniture, and I really appreciate your time on the show today.
Thanks so much, Simon. Great to chat.
That's pretty much it from me for episode number 92 of the CMO Marketing Podcast. Thank you very much for tuning in, and look forward to seeing you next week.